The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome once again to the Computer Corner, broadcasting live from the mighty, mighty KTAR in the wonderful greater southwest here in Phoenix, Arizona. We appreciate all of you joining us, whether you're joining us online, in line, under the line, over the line, whatever it is. Here's the line that you call, 602-277-5827. Should you have a technology question in the next couple of hours? Of course, you can join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see today's theme. Today's theme was so big, so important, what we're going to talk about today. By the way, we're joined by Kyle, Data Doctors Kyle.
Hello.
Your Data Doctors du jour, right?
Yes.
And Lewis from Mac Media to talk to the four listeners that we have that use Macs.
Well, thank you. It's been a little while.
Or is it five now?
It's grown since the last few weeks.
See, I'm goating them right now, right?
You're trying to get them to call in. That's what you're trying
to do. The commercials are cute, but you don't have any people out there that actually use the stuff. It really, in numbers. I mean, it's just a small fraction of people. It's like, whatever. Come on, you Mac people. Let's hear it. We got Lewis here. Let's hear some Mac questions, 602-277-5827. If you're new to the show and you have a question, getting online right now, getting on the phone line right now would be very advisable, because once the show gets going, getting in can get a little tough, which I guess that means lots of people have lots of questions, and we've got the answers. Today's theme, however, and again, you don't have to call in about the theme. It's just something that we bring to the table to try to edutain you every week, right? A little education, a little entertainment. The theme and the topic was so important that it was the topic of this week's advice column. It was what we did on the CNN segment, and it is the theme of today's radio show, which is all of the gotchas that are out there in the tech world when it comes to the holidays. Holiday shopping season has started. We're going to see more and more ads and offers and, you know, enticing little tidbits coming across our screen and our newspapers and what have you. And
buy now.
It's a big season. It's a big part of the season, or big part of the year for the technology industry. So
when the Sunday newspaper ends up being like several inches thick.
Exactly. And mostly electronic ads.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do they put those out now?
Newspapers.
Newspapers.
Yeah. That's the dead tree edition of the news.
Oh, okay.
Right? Comes after the news happens.
I remember that. I've got one of those in my time capsule.
I was actually watching an old movie with my in-laws, and they had reporters on this, you know, this old 40s or 50s movie. And they were talking about the news always happens, you know, after the evening edition runs. Like, you remember, there was a time when there was a morning edition and an evening edition of the newspaper.
I do remember that.
Remember that? Yeah. You probably don't
remember. I know.
Kyle. Kyle's just thinking, newspaper?
I was actually a paper boy when I was a kid.
Oh, yes. Rapfish?
What? They don't even have those anymore. They just have people, like, going down the street with a van with the side door.
That's what my son said. I said, you can get a job and you can be a paper boy. He's like, paper boy? I don't have paper boys anymore.
Speaking of which, in 1974, I started a paper route on the far stretches, the edge of the world at the time, like 88th Avenue and Thomas.
Okay.
I started with, and it was just a sleepy little, you know, just emerging bedroom community. It was for those of you been around for a long time, it was a design master community, if that brings back any memories. And I started with 32 homes that took the paper. And by the time I was ready to kill myself, I had 107 homes that I was delivering papers to every morning, including the Sunday paper, which, of course, is, you know, It's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Well, that was the joke. You know, I had 200 homes to go to or one dumpster.
Right. Wow.
How unreliable it was. Thank goodness for the internet.
Listen, I wanted the tips, so I made sure that those papers got delivered. Anyway, enough about reminiscing. Holiday tech season. There are lots and lots of little games and gimmicks and tricks that the retailers and manufacturers play this year. And, I mean, it's not like it's new because of electronics or new because of the internet. These are the same tricks that have been going on for years and years and years. The problem is electronics are such a high-demand holiday gift. And, let's face it, most of you out there, when you're shopping for electronics, you don't really take the time to educate yourself on all the specs because it's too much work and it's too, you know, it's, yeah, I don't... So what do you use as your primary measuring stick when you're buying electronics?
Price.
Price. And guess who knows that's how you shop? The retailers and the manufacturers. So they do everything they can to put a price out there to lure you in and then do everything they can to increase that. Okay?
Those lost leaders.
It's if you talk to the retailers, they call it upselling. If you talk to the consumer advocates, they call it bait and switch. Regardless, these retail games have been going on forever. So to try to help you understand how to be a more informed and more educated consumer, we're going to spend today's show on that. And, of course, you can take a look at the CNN video we did. You can read the advice column that we have out there. It's all about... The advice column and the CNN segment were both my top five to watch for. But we're going to talk about all of them. And if you're out there, whether you're a former big box employee, a current big box employee, several of the folks in the Data Doctors organization have worked for a lot of the big box retailers. So they kind of chimed in on, well, this is the kind of stuff that they normally, you know. So we have some of that to share with you. But if you're out there and have something to add or want to inform the world about a little gotcha when it comes to technology. And the gotcha is only if you don't understand what you're buying, right?
Right.
Because if they offer it to you, you understand and you're still okay with it, it's not a gotcha. It's when you don't really understand what you're getting yourself into.
It's kind of feeling like you're getting taken advantage of because you're not educated about 100% of what's going on with the technology that you're buying.
And the retailers will, if you're ignorant about the situation, they will take advantage of the ignorance. So... today, we're going to try to unignorate our audience.
So that you're not an ignoramus.
I believe I just created a new word that I'm going to submit to the Urban Dictionary, or I don't know.
You don't even need to do that. It's Webster adds everything.
It's our secondary Geek Speak of the Week, unignorate. Love it. 602-277-5827. The lines are all booked, so wait till you hear somebody hang up. When we come back, we're going to take some calls. We're also going to talk about some of the top gotchas that you got to watch for there. This is the Computer Corner with the Data Doctors and Lewis from Mac Media for you Mac folks. Back right after this. Hey, welcome back to the Computer Corner. Here's the very latest on the operating system market share watch that we've been doing here since the Windows 7 launch.
And I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, buddy. So we've been monitoring the progress of Windows 7 as a percentage of the total number of computers out on the internet. And according to the HitsLink market share study or update, and this just says October 2009, so we don't know what the cutoff is. Windows XP still is about just over 70% of the worldwide market share. So 70% of the computers connected to the internet are still running Windows XP. About 19% are running Windows Vista. About 2.8 or 3% are running the 10.5 version of the Mac OS.
Woo!
Woo! 2.15% of the world is already on Windows 7. So we're already getting close to, actually, there are more people running Windows 7 than the very latest version of the Mac OS X, which is 10.6 point whatever, right? 10.6 something, which is at 1.17. You Linux folks that keep saying this is the way to go, you're less than 1%. You're at 0.96%. And then the other, which would be a bunch of other various open source kind of operating systems, as well as, I mean, they're tracking, part of the other is all the handheld mobile devices, and that's like 3.5%. So,
which is still bigger than Windows 7 and Mac
on any given particular platform. So, you know, there was, I mean, that just kind of puts it into perspective. You know, I know Apple has fun with all those ads, and that's great, and they are definitely gaining market share. But I mean, the reality is, it's still, so I was
still a Windows world.
Well, you know, that's,
out of 100 people, 4 of them have.
That's the thing with the marketing these days. It's not like it used to be, where it actually talked about the product. Now they just kind of bicker back and forth about their product.
They just want it to be fun. Like,
yeah,
absolutely. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about extended warranties. When are they useful? When are they not useful? They're not all bad. They're not all good. When is it good for you? We'll find out later on the show. Let's go to the phones, however. Let's start with Brian. You're first up on the computer corner. We've got a whole bunch of people here to try to help you. What's going on?
How you doing? Real quick, I called last week. I guess you guys had a different host last week. I told them that I had an external hard drive that had some bizarre files come up.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were text, like 5ZM, whatever. And he told me to, I didn't have virus software. He told me to get that. So I downloaded some Microsoft free virus software.
Okay.
I did a scan, didn't find anything. Now, the computer has been slowing down gradually since then. He told me to check the processes, you know, mm-hmm. do the Control-Alt-Delete.
Yep.
I did that. I'm hitting about 68 to 69 processes with, it's got Windows XP.
Woo!
So he said that was a little high. He told me about 30 to 40 is normal.
Well, a well maintained a machine, let's put it this way. When somebody brings a computer for service to Data Doctors, we try to get the processes down to the bare minimum, because you really don't need more than what's running, and it's also a performance issue. So when it leaves, we try very hard on a Windows XP. Is this a desktop?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so in the desktop world, we're generally trying to get it in the 35 to 38 processes, maybe even lower, right, Kyle?
Mostly lower. I try usually to get it in between 25 to 30.
Yeah, so you got a whole bunch of stuff running in the background that it behooves you to figure out what all that stuff is. Not all of it is malicious stuff. A lot of it is going to be, like, if you bought an HP all-in-one printer, the folks at Hewlett-Packard think, well, gosh, in order for all of this stuff to work, we're going to load all this new stuff in, and you add 15 new processes just because you added this printer to your computer.
It's really 400 nice. Megabytes
you know,
in size.
And it's for that one time a year you might actually want to scan something, and instead of having to bring up the scanner software, you can just press the button on the printer, and it'll bring up the scanner software.
Okay.
I mean, it's that kind of thing that goes on with all these companies, antivirus programs with their little ad clients so that they can try to convince you to buy, you know, their latest product. I mean, there's all these things going on that you know, one of them would be fine, but, you know, how old is your machine?
It's probably about 2 years.
And so you've probably never done any real maintenance, right, in that 2 years?
I've done minimal. I've done, like, a defragment occasionally when it needs it, and I also do the occasional temporary internet file dump.
Yeah, unfortunately, that'll have nothing to do with what we're talking about. What you have is kind of, think of it as like the road grime that builds up from driving a lot.
Okay.
Right? So you got 2 years worth, and that's why you have 69 process. You got all the stuff that's kind of latched on, and none of it's been cleaned off. So if you got up to 45 and then you cleaned some off, and then you could have gotten it down.
Well,
but that definitely will have a dramatic impact on your performance.
And the stuff that you're doing to the computer, like defragmenting the hard drive and stuff, is, I mean, that's like if you've got engine buildup, engine grime, and you're giving your car a car wash.
Yeah, a little polish.
Okay.
Oh, no. What you've done, you've organized the inside of the car, right?
The CDs alphabetically.
Right, and you got the little ashtray cleaned out and what have you. Why isn't this thing running faster? No, so that is absolutely something you're going to want to attack. Now, we've posted a lot of columns in the past on what to do and how to identify these things. So we come back, we'll give some folks some. In fact, we'll just put it up on our website. I'm going to put you on hold here, so I can give you a little more direction on that, so that you can try to figure out how to get those 69 processes down. Boy, just think about the startup time for this guy, right? Brian's going to love it when he gets the thing down to 30 or 40 processes. He's going to actually start without having to, you know, take a half hour.
Right.
It's the Computer Corner. We're talking about tech holiday shopping gotchas, some of the stuff that the retailers are going to try to play with your mind on. So when we come back, we're going to start with the first and foremost the price-driven shopper and what you need to be concerned about. It is the Computer Corner. Ken, Kyle, and Lewis from Mac Media back after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about holiday tech shopping gotchas. Tricks of the trade from the retail world there. In a second here, we're going to get into the most common problem that people have when they don't know anything about technology. But before we do that, we're going to go over the long bomb. We're going to go long distance to another country, actually. Dallas, Texas.
I got it. I'm going back.
You're going back. Oh. Mr. Brandon Disney, who's in our Dallas territories, chiming in on the old Computer Corner here. What's going on in Dallas?
You know, it is a whole other country. What's going on in Dallas? Weather's nice. Birds are chirping. Sun's out. But more importantly, we got a new store.
You do, and that's why you're out there.
Yes, that's why I'm here, and making sure everything's going smooth, which, of course, it is. And today's like our official grand opening day at the newest location here in Dallas.
Well, I'm looking at the Facebook page. I posted a bunch of pictures, including, I don't know, guys, what do you think? Is this, does that qualify for dork?
That looks about right. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that, by the way. When they were taking pictures, they said, make a funny face, and so I did. And, well, it was worse than funny. It was actually not. But anyway,
it's funny. It's funny.
Yeah. So those of you that are not our current Facebook fans, what are you waiting for? This might be a reason to go. It's facebook.com/datadoctors, which, oh, by the way, we use Facebook as our intermediary between the radio show and the newsletter, which comes out Friday, Saturday. Something happens during the week that we think you should be aware of that can't wait till Friday or Saturday. We post it up on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, you want those kind of early warnings, that's part of what we do with our Facebook fan page. But for now, I mean, really, if you just want to see what we're talking about, you got to go check out the King Dork.
Well, and that one picture could be the greatest marketing piece Data Doctors has ever put out.
I'll tell you what it is.
I'm going to see that in ads, I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
We're going to crop that out and post it everywhere.
We got you covered. And the store is beautiful. That you can see pictures of that well. So, hey, what's going on now? You guys are doing something special. So that we do have people in Dallas that do listen. It's kind of like the Mac.
Yeah, I think there's got to be like three at least, right?
So those people in Texas, or those willing to get in the car and drive to Dallas, what's in it for them?
Well, I mean, it's like a grand opening thing, so there's the normal balloons and food and drinks and, you know, that kind of stuff. We have all kinds of, you know, we'll call them tchotchkes. And then we're giving away copies of Windows 7, including us doing the work of getting the upgrade done, because it's not always as smooth as throwing in the disk. Three antivirus. You enter to win a drawing and all kinds of different things we're giving away. And actually, that's going on all week long, so people can come in.
So you got plenty. So if they're in Phoenix, they got plenty of time to drive over to Dallas. And
yep.
I'm going to drive over there just to get Windows 7.
Southwest has cheap flights. Come on. So if you're in Dallas, you know somebody in Dallas, or you're going to drive to Dallas, hey, we got you hooked up.
But more importantly, go check out the photos on our Facebook page, because you'll have a little bit of fun. It'll put a little cheer. You notice a lot of people have chimed in this week, too, on the Facebook page.
Yeah, see, we're engaging people, and they're saying nice things, which we really appreciate.
Of course, we love that, too. But anyway, all right, well, safe travels. You're coming home tonight, right? You'll be back for next week's show?
Yeah, I'll be...
Maybe. Oh, no, you're not. You're going to be traveling next week, too.
I'm going to be on the West Coast next week. So.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The Traveling Disney.
That's right. That's what they call me.
All right, be safe.
See you guys later.
Yeah, I'll talk to you.
Take care.
And, you know, if you want to see Mr. Brandon Disney... Facebook.com/datadoctors. All right, let's talk about this all too common problem when it comes to technology. Folks don't really understand the bits and the bytes and the specs and the this and the that, so they primarily look at price. Look at this one's cheaper than that one. The retailers count on that. So whether it's in the Mac world, the PC world, doesn't matter. The cheapest of anything in any category is the place where you're probably going to be the most likely to be unhappy with the purchase. Would you agree with that?
It's always found that the case with anything I bought.
I don't care. I said this on the CNN segment. I don't care if you're buying a calculator. If you get the cheapest calculator, they have to cut corners to get that price. And they realize that some people just doesn't matter. All they care about is price. And in fact, a large percentage of people in technology, that's all they care about is price. And so the manufacturers take advantage of this thing. And you know, I mean, you have a very common thing that happens in digital cameras and laptops, for instance, the battery, right? Pretty important part of the device. When you're looking at the thing and it's plugged in and it's on display and you're playing, there's no thinking about the battery, and they know that. So they'll put a 2-cell battery on a real cheap laptop, which is going to give you, you know, an hour, 45 minutes maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Certainly, as long as you're not watching a movie. If you're watching a movie, you're done.
And without power, it's a glorified doorstep.
Right.
And doorstop, you know.
And if you're installing something or using up the hard drive, then you can maybe get 15 minutes out of it.
So, but what happens is you buy this thing because you think it's a great price. You take it home, you use it a couple of times, right? Now it's 10 days, 2 weeks, a month after you purchased it, and you realize, I need a new battery. And you go back to get a battery for it, or you figure out what's going on. They go, yeah, you have a 2-cell battery. You can get a 6-cell battery for $180, which is, you know, about half what you just paid for the thing to begin with.
It's one of the most common things that I get in the store is, oh, my battery's dead. How much is it going to cost to replace it? Well, it's not cheap.
Yeah. Because they're proprietary, you kind of have to buy it from the manufacturer, and they mark it way up because they realize you got nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. So here's the tip that we want you to use when you're shopping for any device, digital camera, I don't care what it is. If you're shopping for a device that has a battery, always ask the salesperson what the extended life battery or what battery options, if I wanted to buy a spare battery, are there. And if they say, well, you can buy the exact same battery that's in there for this, then it's probably a decent battery. If they say that's all there is, just another battery like this, there's not like an upgraded one, right? With the cheap stuff, they're going to immediately go to the, oh, you can buy this upgraded battery, right? And that tells you right away, okay, this is probably one of those devices that the data doctors are talking about. This is how they got the price real low. So now I have to really think about, I got to add the price of the upgraded battery to this, and now, you know what? That other laptop that was a little more money that already has the better battery, that's a better deal,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's the quickest way you can avoid the battery snag or gotcha in the tech world is you got to just ask. Just ask if there is an upgraded battery option. Because if they say no, then you know, okay, well, then that's a reasonable battery. If they say, oh, yeah, there's this upgraded battery, you know right away, okay. Yeah, I better look further into this.
You know, or you could just avoid the cheapest stuff altogether and then not have to worry about asking for the upgraded battery.
But you should always check on the battery. Even if you're spending, you know, intermediate pricing on battery-operated devices, that's a very common trick used by manufacturers because they know you got to come back to them for it,
right?
Same thing with these printers, these cheap printers. The first set of cartridges you get are either the first set or all cartridges for that cheap printer have less ink in them. So you have to buy the refillables, which is where they make all their money. It's the razor and the razor blade deal, right?
Right.
And give away the razor so I can make money on razor blades.
Most of the time, too, the printers just end up being, you know, you spend the cost of the printer and the ink that you buy anyway.
I will tell you this. Anytime it's more expensive to replace the ink on a printer you're about to buy, you need to stop and think about, wait a minute. Why is that? What's going on here? Why is it? I mean, is this really a good idea for me? Because it seems like there's something more to this picture. Why would they sell this printer so cheap?
Yeah. Or why would they give it away with the purchase of a computer?
And a subset of that is the cable. Another big gotcha. Another big place where they really can hammer you on the price and get you upgraded. In the audio business, there is a differentiation, a quality difference for cabling. Not dramatic, but it is definable and it's true, and the science will support that a higher quality cable potentially will give you higher quality sound because it's analog and there's degradation, there's all kinds of things that happen. The computer world, everything's digital, right? When you're connecting these things, now there used to be analog peripherals, but for the most part, everything's digital now. USB, HDMI, all that stuff. It's a digital signal. Digital is zero and one. The zero and one either gets there or it doesn't. It doesn't get there faster, cleaner, better. It either gets there or it doesn't. It's on or off. That's it.
Which will then stop paying a ton of money for.
There's
these
no
expensive
such
cables.
Thing as a premium cable for technology, for digital technology. It's not a premium in any way other than you're paying a premium. They're making more money. Gold plated, it all doesn't matter. That works in the analog world, makes no sense in the digital world. And again, that $20 printer, they're going to try to get you to buy a $35 cable with the $20 printer, right? So they're making money on the printer, but now they're making money on the cable, and really good money, and on the ink cartridges, right? That's why they sell those cheap printers. And the cost per page, especially if you do any kind of volume at all, on that is significantly higher. Like 1 year out, it would have been cheaper to buy a color laser printer in most cases. If you look at the consumables and the cost per page and add it all up, there have been lots and lots of studies about that. So printers especially, that's how they get you on the consumables.
When if you look at some of those models like Epson, for example, those print heads are built into the printer itself, so they're not removable. So whereas you're buying a printer cartridge and you could buy a replacement printhead, you can't do that with an Epson model. So when that dries up, you basically replace.
Yeah, when the nozzle gets clogged on an Epson, and let's it used to be exclusively Epson, but now if you look at the higher end HPs
as well,
and it's because it is a better way to go from a technological standpoint. But if you don't use your printer a lot, or if you go away for 6 months and it just sits there, and that ink dries up and it coagulates in the nozzle and the cleaning process doesn't get it out, it gets a little ugly there, which is another reason why you seriously should consider, if you do any kind of volume at all, or if you're a random user where you don't use it for a long period of time, laser printer prices have come down so far and the cost per page is so much cheaper. You really ought to consider that. I know it's more money up front, but if you're looking at the total cost of ownership, I think you're going to start to see there's a whole lot of value to doing that. So those are our initial tips there. We've got lots more for you at datadoctors.com/radio. You can read it, you can see it, or you can keep listening. We are a multi-sensory opportunity radio show here. It is the Computer Corner. Ken Kyle from Data Doctors and Lewis from Mac Media back right after this. Having a good time, wishing you were here. Oh, you are here. Thanks for joining us here on the Computer Corner. We're talking about holiday tech purchasing gotchas, the stuff that, if you're not paying attention, it might get you. So if you missed any part of the show, we will archive this audio. Yeah, probably Monday, Tuesday. We'll get around to it. Or you can join us online, datadoctors.com/radio right now and see all of the tips that we have up there. Later on, I will, earlier in the show, we talked about how to deal with all those excess processes, which comes up probably every 2 or 3 weeks. So it's a recurring piece that we'll have up there. We'll put that advice up there for those of you that want to try to DIY it, right?
Probably not a good idea with processes.
Is that a tough one for you to evaluate? DIY, you got that one?
Lost.
you Mac people, you need more acronyms in your life. Do it yourself, babe. All right, let's go back to the phones here. And Larry.
Yes, sir.
You got any technology you're going to be shopping for this holiday season?
I might join your 2.15% that own Windows 7 since I have Vista.
There you go. All right. So you're having a particular issue with your Vista machine at the moment.
Yes, I did some up. I logged on this morning. The computer said you got 4 updates. It installed 2 and said failed to do 2 updates.
I hate when that happens.
You don't need them.
That's from the Mac contingents. Now, I talked to you a little bit off the air. You did exactly what we want you to do when you are faced with this situation, because you got this really, really helpful, very explanatory error code, right?
Yep.
Which was what?
800700005.
That tells you everything right there.
Yeah.
All right.
There's your problem.
There you go, Larry. Thanks for calling.
I went straight to Google and I said Windows error code and punched it in, and it's telling me that I don't have enough rights to go in and update this.
Okay, but what I want to really focus in on is not your particular situation, but what you did, which is what we really want everyone listening to learn from. Larry did 2 very, very clever and very intelligent, I don't know, maybe Nobel Peace Prize winning things that he did. A little bit much. You paid attention to the actual error code. You didn't say, oh, I got an error code. I don't know what it is. Because then, you know, who can help you with that, right? So you wrote it down or whatever you did. And then you said, well, let's see what Google can tell me about this in case it's something I can deal with.
Yep.
Which you did. And so step one, step two, folks, anytime you have an error message, do exactly what the genius Larry did. Write down the code, go search in Google, see if it's something you can deal with. In this case, it did tell you what the problem was, which is?
I don't have the rights to do this.
For some reason, you're able to put two of them in, and the other two won't go in because it says you don't have the rights. And you do have administrative access.
Yes.
Okay. So you can, as a double test, you can try logging in as the administrator, which basically you would change the name to administrator. But I don't think that's the case in your case. I think what's probably happening is you have a third-party program, an antivirus program, a firewall or something that's blocking this particular activity, because this activity could also be how a hacker infiltrates your computer. So it's like the security software is there stopping this, right? The bouncer is not letting a VIP in the door.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense?
Yep.
So the easiest way to check that is if you go to the bottom right-hand corner where your clock is, you know, the little icons that represent all the programs that are running.
Uh-huh.
One of them will be your security software. What antivirus security package are you running?
I have McAfee in here.
Okay. So the McAfee icon, if you just float your mouse over the top of the icons, it will make itself obvious, right?
Yep.
And so what you'd want to do is right-click on it, and it could be exit, disable, remove, shut down, whatever. Should be an option for you to temporarily shut that thing down. No? Are you saying no?
Not on McAfee. Most McAfee guys don't have the disable option on there, except for the newest versions, like the 2010.
So there's not even a disable or pause or anything?
It's like, yeah, you have to actually go into the services in the computer. And
McAfee's here to help you, huh? So you'd have to do a Control-Alt-Delete, have the processes running, you can't even do it
Way. You have to go into a command process on the services disable them. And
now it's getting really funky fresh. What about if he goes into safe mode? If he goes into safe mode with networking?
Possibly.
You might be able to do that. Are you familiar with safe mode?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I just open the security center itself, it gives me a lot of options in there.
Yeah, I mean, if you can find a place to actually disable it, basically tell it to let its guard down, right? Let things happen. I'm in control. Take a break, right? Quit guarding the door.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm pretty certain that's where your problem is.
Uh-huh.
It's a very common situation. So here's the other thing, is figure out which version of McAfee you have, and if you can't figure out how to disable it, that's the next Google search. Temporarily disabling McAfee, whatever version. Search for that, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to put you on hold for a second here, because we're coming up on break, as I can tell, because the gorillas are playing. Huh? That's called an auditory cue. Here's another auditory cue for you. We got another hour coming. We got our Geek Speak of the Week, and we've got a couple of more really prominent things that are going to go on in your tech life if you're shopping this holiday season. Stay tuned for that and more. It is Ken Colburn, Kyle, the traveling data doctor, and Lewis from Mac Media. Back right after this.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
"Dope!" It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We're talking holiday tech purchasing gotchas. The stuff that, if you're not careful, you could end up with a bit of a financial gotcha. I mean, you hear this all the time, right? Well, if I don't know, Nan, I'd spend a little more money. Well, guess what today, the point of today's show is?
Spend a little more money.
That's not exactly what we're trying to tell people is just go spend money to spend money. We're not trying to stimulate the economy.
We are, actually. Yeah. I got a call from the White House and they said, Ken? Yeah, whatever.
Your show can single-handedly turn the economy around.
Do you buy the? Yeah, I think it was a phishing scam. Yes, this is the White House.
You know, one thing that I did kind of want to clarify for people is that, you know, we're telling people don't skimp on the computer, but do skimp on the cables, you know, yeah. And it might be a little confusing there as to why that is and what it is that's going on in the stores. That's
well, I wouldn't call it skimping because you're not looking for a $2 cable. You're just looking for a reasonable price cable, not this. You know, you got the baseline and you got the premium. So, all right, before we go on, though, it's time for the Geek Speak of the Week. Every week we try to bring you a little portion of the vernacular. A little something to make you sound more technologically aware when you're, I don't know, writing your next rap song or something. I don't know, whatever. This week's Geek Speak of the Week is, you want to take this, Kyle?
Sure. The Geek Speak of the Week is Dweet.
Dweet.
Dweet is a Twitter tweet sent when drunk.
A dweet.
A dweet. A drunk tweet.
A drunk tweet. Or?
A Twitter tweet sent while on a date. A date tweet.
So if you're on a date and you're trying to tell your buds, hey, it's going pretty good or whatever.
You're a dweet.
You're sending a dweet.
You're sending a dweet.
You know, you might be a dweeb.
Dweeb, yeah.
So there's two different ways to use dweet, right? And you can kind of tell when somebody's sending a dweet. That's a drunken tweet.
And
right?
You can tell when it's the weekend, too.
Either way.
They tend to show up more on the weekend.
This I can assure you that this Geek Speak is primarily for single people. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to get my drink on, I'm not Twittering. I just me.
You know, but it's the same thing with, like, you know, you got the drunk dialing and stuff like that.
Yes.
People, you know, people just for some reason want to reach out to everybody with their great ideas when they're drunk.
Well, what Ken's saying is these people are single and will remain single.
Yeah. I suppose if I go on a date with my wife and I post something on Twitter about how wonderful a date I'm having, I guess that's posting a tweet. Whatever. The dweebs sending the tweets. Hey, if you want to keep up with that and some news, our tip of the week, our head whack of the week, security alerts, that type of thing on a weekly basis, you can do so via our newsletter. It's absolutely free. This week's newsletter has a tip on watermarking your photos, right? And why would you want to do that? Well, all of us are posting photos all over the place, social media, so on and so forth. The stuff where we feel like we can control who sees it, great. The stuff that's going to be posting on a blog where anybody can get to it, right-click on it, save it. Now I can use it however I want. And you'll never know unless you use TinEye or some of the other reverse lookups sites that are out there. So the bottom line is if you have photos that you want to protect and you want to make sure that if somebody else uses it, you get credit for it, you can put a watermark on it. Usually you have to have like Photoshop or something to be able to do that. Nay! You get to our newsletter, you can get a free website that actually you don't have to load any software or anything. You just upload the picture, tell them what you want as a watermark, copyright, that kind of thing. They process it and send it back to you. Free.
So nice.
Free. No software to install to load down your machine to add more processes, anything like that. So there's that, and then there's a free PDF to Word converter link, right? Oftentimes you get a PDF and you're going, gosh, I wish I could make some changes to this thing. You got to turn it into a Word document, and you can't just save it as a Word document, so convert it.
So it does the OCR automatically?
No. It actually just converts the file format from PDF to doc.
And it's editable?
What's up, doc? Yeah, once it's a document, it's completely editable.
And then you can put it back to a PDF.
And once again, free! Newsletter subscriptions are available if you choose to do so at datadoctors.com/help. See on the right-hand side, about halfway down, a place where you can, first of all, take a look at the archives, see what our past newsletters look like, so you understand what we're going to be sending you, and a place for you to subscribe. And then, again, if you want more frequent updates on anything that's going on as they happen, our real-time warning system is our Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors. All right, back to the phone here, and let's talk to Gary, who has, it says, now, Gary, this is just Pete, because we love him. It says on here, it says, advantage to a Frankenstein computer.
Oh? I didn't know that. Well, my question, of course, a custom-built computer.
Well, he's referring to that as Frankenstein because it's parts as parts, you know, take parts.
Oh, okay.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, made locally, Pete, obviously.
Pete's
versus,
good.
One standard box.
And yeah, all generic parts, which, you know, for those of you that don't understand, when you buy a Dell, if you ever look inside, If you look inside and see what's in there, how many of those parts say Dell on them?
I don't know.
None of them?
I never looked at it.
Maybe the motherboard, because they had somebody make it for them.
Oh.
It's an Intel processor, right? Same yeah. Intel processor that a Frankenstein computer can have, mm-hmm. that a store-bought computer can. It's the same thing.
Oh.
It has a Seagate or Western Digital or some brand hard drive, right? Okay. Same thing. So there's no downside to a custom-built computer from a technology standpoint as long as the parts that you choose are good quality parts.
There are downside, though, to some of those inbox systems, though.
Like, what do you mean?
For example, those Dells, some of the models of the Dells.
The corner cutters.
They make the parts proprietary on purpose so that you can only go...
Oh, like power supplies and things like that.
Well, even the motherboard on Dells. Yeah. Some of the models of Dells, they have them mounted backwards and upside down so that you can only replace them with a Dell motherboard.
Another great reason to be Frankenstein. So, Gary, what's going on with your parts as parts computer?
Well, my present computer, it's all right, but it's getting kind of elderly, as I am. And I was thinking of going more into photography stuff with, like, Photoshop and all that. I'm kind of an old photographer, which uses that you're supposed to get the picture right in the first place. But
That's overrated.
I'm changing a little bit.
That then requires what they call skill. See,
well,
and
yeah.
So today you don't need skill to be a photographer.
I noticed that. But are there any downsides for a locally built computer if it was done by a reputable outfit?
No, I mean we've been building our own computers for 20 years,
okay.
Primarily because the advantage to that is that you get to totally control the outcome, right? You're not buying a box that says, well, it comes with this motherboard, this processor, this hard drive, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Right? And so then you gotta conform to the computer.
Okay.
And by doing that, you'll save some money because it's a mass produced product.
Right.
Okay? It's just like a custom built car versus a mass produced car.
Okay.
Well, I don't want the sunroof. Too bad.
No.
You gotta take the sunroof. So that's the advantage of doing this. The disadvantage is if you don't know what you're doing, or if you don't have a reputable outfit putting the thing together for you, they may substitute cheaper parts to make more money, right? And you're not going to know because you don't know the difference. And
yeah.
And then, especially if you're trying to do something at a higher level, and that's if you're trying to do a higher level processing activity, that's all the more reason to look at a custom built computer, because then you can totally control where your money is
okay.
spent, right? So you don't need this crazy gaming video card. You need one that's good for Photoshop.
Right.
Right? So spend the extra money that they would have spent on that video card on the off-the-shelf product and put it into RAM where it's going to make a difference.
Or more hard drive space.
So essentially, when I was if I was to have this custom-built computer done, relate to the person that's going to do it exactly what I want, and it will come out that way.
Well, let me give you a bigger step,
okay.
a bigger tip. Actually, we're going to go to break. Okay. We're going to call this a teaser. We're running late on a break, but when we come back, we're going to tell all of you that are ever in Gary's position exactly what to do so you can really control your destiny on a custom-built computer. So hang tight on that, Gary. It's the Computer Corner with lots of great more information. Stay tuned for more.
Tom.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner. You know what? We're going to have a little contest here. Earlier in the show, I can't remember his name, Brian or whatever, called and said he had 69 processes.
Right.
I just got off the phone with Bill. Gosh, I'm horrible with names. I guess I should maybe remember or write them down. He said he had 73 processes running. Right?
Callers, call in with the highest number of processes.
Who can beat that? Everybody out there, do a Control-Alt-Delete on your Windows machine, and that should bring up either the Task Manager or something that looks that gives you the option to click on the Task Manager. Look in the bottom left corner of the Task Manager window. See how many processes are running, and email us or go to our web page and say, this is how many I have running. We'll see who's got the most number of processes running, and it's not a point of pride.
The most I think I've ever seen on a computer is like 120.
That thing had to have been just completely impossible to use.
Yeah, it's like 88% processing
usage. It was like 500 megabytes of RAM and a 1.8 gigahertz P4.
It's a combination of things too that are there's a lot of the new infections out there that are fake antivirus programs. They become a gateway to a bunch of other programs coming in.
Stack stuff.
In fact, Victor sent me an email on a most current kind of infection we're going to talk about here a little bit later. Let's go back to Gary, though. We were talking about you're interested in doing higher-level photography work. You want a custom-built computer so you can control the outcome. Now let's go through the steps that's for the highest possibility of success. Okay? So if you if you give it your best guess based on just a general description of I want to do this stuff, then you know you do you an educated guess, you can put together a decent computer, but that's kind of like deciding to buy a car before you really figure out how many people you're going to have to carry in it. Okay? So the easiest way to make sure that the computer, whether you're getting a custom-built computer or one off the shelf, is if you have a specific task that you're going to use the computer for, go and find the actual program you intend to use. Okay? So if it is Photoshop CS, if it's Photoshop whatever elements, figure out which one it is. Okay. Then look at that software's minimum and recommended configuration levels. Because it's on the box, it's on the website. Okay?
Sure.
So now you're not guessing.
Okay.
So you want to meet or exceed those standards.
Usually exceed, of course.
Correct. If you exceed, then you've kind of built in, because it's a lot cheaper to do that little extra RAM, that little extra processor, that little extra hard drive, up front. What you're kind of hedging your bets against is that at some point Adobe is going to raise the bar, right?
Right.
They're going to say you got to have a little bit more hardware. Okay.
Okay.
Now, one particularly interesting situation that you're going to have to deal with right now in time is this whole issue of 32 versus 64-bit.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
We're in the transitional stages of going from 32-bit processing to 64-bit. Okay, in the old DOS days, we were 16-bit. Okay, so we've already made the transition from 16 to 32. We're right in the middle of going from 32 to 64. A year ago, I said, don't even bother with 64 because there were so many compatibility issues. Now that Windows 7 is out, and because Vista has basically taken all the slings and arrows of 64-bit, all those people that didn't have support for 64-bit have created it. And so Windows 7's 64-bit support is substantially better. Plus, if you get a Pro or Ultimate version of Windows 7, it comes with a fully licensed copy of Windows XP. So if you run into a situation where you have an old piece of hardware, an old program that must run under Windows XP,
you can do it.
It can. Because it literally launches a Windows XP session within Windows 7.
You're more or less pointing me to talk to the local experts and instead of using my own judgment, which is pretty poor.
Well, because of this really kind of hairy mess, see, 64-bit requires that you have a 64-bit computer, which I'm going to assume, based on what you're telling me you're going to do, you're going to have. That's not a problem. You have the processor that can do it. You need a 64-bit operating system, so you'd want the 64-bit version of Windows.
Okay.
And then you have to have a 64-bit version of the Adobe product, let's say, that you're going to be buying.
Okay.
Okay? So you got to make sure that you want to pay the difference. You have to have a 64-bit antivirus program.
Okay.
And you have to have all 64-bit compatible drivers, peripherals like old printers and scanners.
Okay.
And there's, you know, there's no guarantee that anything that you have that's old will work. The flip side is if you can make it to the 64-bit platform now, you've crossed over, you're ready to go for the future.
Okay.
But you're likely going to take on more trials and tribulations right now than if you just stick to 32. If you go with 32 now, you're not dealing with the problems right now, but you're also kind of putting yourself behind the curve for the future. And I assure you, for what you're talking about doing with Photoshop, a 64-bit machine would be spectacular.
Oh.
But, can you know, you feeling lucky, punk? All right, hang on. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Kind of wrap up with Gary. We've got one half hour left, 602-277-5827. When we come back, more of the tricks that the retailers are going to try to pull on you. And how you can avoid them, just sidestep them like you're a Heisman Trophy winner. Huh?
Absolutely.
Very football-esque, isn't it? It's the Data Doctors back right after this. Hey, so grabbing into the mailbox here. John writes, since Windows 7 doesn't come with an email program in it, is there one you may suggest? I really don't want a cloud network email address or cloud email for that matter. I like an email program that uses my POP and SMTP addresses. Windows Live, right? Live Mail?
Windows Live Mail, it's a program that's built into Windows 7. No, it's not.
It doesn't come with.
It doesn't come. It's a part of the download that you can get Windows Live Mail, and it'll do that. And you can also do something like Thunderbird, which is a Mozilla
either one
product.
Either one of them will... Use it, you don't have to use the Hotmail or the Windows Mail address. You can use that client for anything that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it'll look at your old Outlook Express files and import those in.
Right.
pretty cool stuff. So, John, hopefully you're listening. I'll respond back to you there in the email as well. But you can do what you want to do. You can do it. All right. All right. So number four on my top five hot list is bypass the BS when it comes to holiday tech. Well, maybe I should say, hey, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the gotchas in holiday tech purchases. We already went through the first three that was in my advice column. The number four, you got to bypass the BS. Bundling and subsidies.
Clever.
Really, really big deal this year, too. Bundling, this comes directly from a bunch of former big box retail employees. This is specifically said that when I said, what were the biggest gotchas? The number one was bundling. And bundling is a little trick that they play with. Let's say they have a digital camera at a price. And in the small print, it says limited quantities. Da, da, da. And so you rush in there to try to get it. And they're saying, well, the only way you can get it now is if you buy the bundle, which includes an extra battery, a battery case, memory card, that kind of thing. Because they're bundling it.
Kicks the price up.
Yeah. And
a lot.
They're hoping that you will, under that scenario, kind of make a snap decision and go, okay, that's fine. Sounds like a good deal. You do it instead of investigating what the bundle is. You investigate what the bundle is and what they're charging for it. You're going, I think I'm getting bundled here.
Because the big thing that the stores make money on is not necessarily that hot-priced item, the computer, the TV, the...
No, they never make... Those are loss leaders.
They're just trying to get you in the door.
They make the money off of the small stuff that they're bundling with it, the battery, the case, the memory card, the coit cables.
And they're counting on you kind of being crossed up, right? You came in for something at a price, and now you have to make a snap decision. Well, hurry up before they're all gone. Well, you can only get it, though, if you get the bundle. Really? So if you hear that bundle or if you see this thing where they're trying to sell you all these accessories and that's the only way you can get the deal, won't necessarily mean that it's a bad deal, but it's one of the games that they play to try to make you make a quick decision, and they basically made the margin that they were looking for. Subsidies, another big one. Subsidies has been how the cellular industry gets people tied into a contract, right? You want an iPhone for $199 instead of $499, sign a two-year contract. Right. If you sign a two-year contract and that contract requires you for a data plan and everything else.
Yeah, what does it cost over 2 years?
You know what it is for an iPhone?
It's ridiculous.
$199? $2,700.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not ridiculous if you planned on doing this stuff anywhere you really want the product or whatever, but you have to understand what you're getting yourself into. Very common in the cell phone business. Now becoming common in the low-end computer business, especially netbooks. There's a lot of netbooks out there that you can get for $49.99, and you're going, woohoo! Right? It's normally $3.99, you get it for $99. You sign a two-year contract with AT&T or some of these other for the data service. Whoa, hold on here.
Well, they make a lot of money off residual subscription services.
But if you have a netbook and it has Wi-Fi and you paid $249, $349, $449, whatever, it'll connect to any Wi-Fi connection that's openly accessible, which there's, you know, a couple billion of them out there now, right? You're not tied to any contracts. And 2 years from now, I mean, what's going to all kinds of things could change, especially in connectivity and wireless and data. Really careful with these subsidies. Looks like a fantastic deal. You're just thinking about the here and now. Make sure you really understand what the long-term outcome of this is.
And most of the time, the things that they're trying to subsidize are going to be some of the markets that are changing the fastest, too, like cell phones. I mean, who actually has their cell phone through their two-year contract? You know, you end up buying a new phone or something along those lines.
Which means you extend the contract another 2 years.
Exactly. Nobody holds on to those things for the full 2 years because they either break or, oh, look at this shiny new one that's got a touch screen. And
And these devices have planned obsolescence. I mean, they're designed to last 2 to 3 years typically.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about...
A lot of the smaller devices.
Yeah, well, maybe the mobile devices.
Mobile ones.
But most technology will outlast any warranty that it comes with, which leads us into number five, those extended warranties. You got to eyeball those extended warranties very, very closely. Yeah? What's going on in the Mac world? Extended warranties.
Well, in the Apple world, we have one extended warranty, which is called Apple Care.
It's like, you can have any color car you want as long as it's black.
Exactly. Well, I mean, other companies do have their own extended warranties that they sell with the systems. If you go to a
third-party
company. The issue that I have with the third-party warranties compared to the manufacturer's warranties are typically the turnaround.
Or what actually happens when you're...
Yeah.
If you're going to get an extended warranty, getting one through the manufacturer typically means you have fewer fewer people involved in the decision process. May also cost you more, too. We got to look at those things. The big thing with any kind of an extended warranty is look at what it actually covers. Here's where it gets a little hairy with computers. We work on computers all day long in 45-odd locations or across the country 6 days a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of the thousands and thousands and thousands of computers that we touch every month actually have a hardware problem?
Probably, I'd say, less than 30-40%.
Yeah. Probably more like 20-25, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay? It's a low number.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of the problems that people have with their computer, what?
Software. Viruses. I mean, stuff that they will not cover with a warranty.
Exactly. Extended warranties don't cover the most likely problems you're going to have. And I can't tell you how many people I've seen that didn't really think about it, didn't really think it through, didn't ask any questions about the extended warranty. Just assumed that means if I have any problems, I just take it in and they take care of it for me. And then, whoa, surprise. Wait a minute. Whoa. And then even worse, the guy that sold it to them that might have inferred it, didn't quite say it, but kind of inferred, oh, yeah, everything's taken care of. Well, he's long gone. He has nothing to do with the service department. You know, the third-party warranty is, you know, some guy in another state, maybe another country. You know, I mean...
Most probably.
You gotta look into this. Extended warranties were created for one reason and one reason only. It's a profit motive.
Yep.
It's a very profitable... If you go to any of the big, especially the real big... Some people refer to as the evil empire in technology, box stores. They will try to put a warranty, an extended warranty on anything.
Now, there are some cases where the extended warranty are worth it.
It's certainly worth considering, and I'd say the number one product where you might want to consider an extended warranty, and again, it depends on whose warranty and where you're buying it from.
Mm-hmm.
The extended warranty on a laptop, especially an upscale, you know, an expensive laptop,
right.
It becomes even more obvious that it's probably worthwhile, mainly because they're mobile devices. They're much more prone to physical damage than a desktop is. Desktop, you're not carrying around all the time. Laptop?
Well, and they're in different environments a lot. So they might go from a hot area of the U.S. to a colder area and then be sitting in a car in mm-hmm. Arizona's 120-degree weather.
All of those things. Now, with some of the manufacturers, you can get what's called a no-fault extended warranty. And that means even if you're the one that damaged it because you spilled a Coke on it, you dropped it, you did whatever else, right? So corporate purchasers a lot of times will look at those no-fault warranties for their road warriors so that they just, you know, we know this is going to happen, we're just going to build it in, we realize we're paying a premium, we're okay with it. And that's really, you got to look at your usage. You know, you're going to send your child off to school, first year of college, the first time that they've had a portable computer, I can pretty much guarantee you something's going to happen. You know?
Most common, especially in like college towns and stuff like that.
First year
all
students,
the time.
First year students, they're just. It's a new experience for them, and frankly, theft is probably as big of a problem, if not a bigger problem, than anything else. So, take stock in what it is, and really look through the thing if you're going to commit to an extended warranty. 9 times out of 10, I did not buy. I bought a real nice digital camera, and I passed on the warranty, and then my wife had a kinetic incident with it at one of my nephew's birthday parties, and it went flying across and it broke the base of where the SLR lens went in. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to cost me. I was thinking maybe I should have spent the money on the warranty, and took it in for the repair. It was $80. It was a third of what the warranty would have cost. So I can do this 2 more times and I'll still be breaking even.
All right, right, let's go throw the camera around.
No! Do not listen to Kyle, honey. So, take a look at that stuff. Now, final little bonus segment on my column is I'm suggesting that you're aware that you don't get flogged. You know what that means in Apple world? It means the same thing in the PC world.
Don't get flogged. Sticks?
Well, that too. Well, I mean, unless you're into that thing. A flog is a fake blog. Flogs are very, very common these days. And PR firms and marketing firms figured out a while back that because this word of mouth kind of discussion that goes on with the internet. Very, very, very powerful. The 300 million blogs out there or something ridiculous. You know, anybody can start one. Well, let's start seeding the internet with these, what seem to be individuals that love our product, right? And just put them out there and then get them indexed and get, when you type in Google for something and you see that
pop up first.
And... Right. And you're going, wow. It's just like I was talking to somebody. Oh, yeah. All the remarks on the site seem to be very positive. Well, that right there, whenever you see a product and all, just no matter what, it's always positive.
Well, some of these companies actually got in trouble for pulling down negative remarks.
Right. Which is even, yeah, it's worse. Which, I mean, you'll get called out on the internet if you don't really understand the rules, which, I mean, the traditional marketing firms are still trying to figure out this new media stuff. And they're trying the old tricks in the new media and don't realize this new media is pretty transparent and people will call you out and
it's bad
there's
for
no,
PR.
Yeah, it's you need to be straight up with people or you're going to get your pants pulled down.
Bottom line is do your research and make sure that you don't get fed information.
Well, here's how you identify a flog, right? You know the deal with blogging. People that blog, they blog about everything. They talk about all this stuff, right? So if you go to a blog and the only entry in the blog is this one thing, and all they want to talk about and all the links always lead to the same site, there's no references to any other sites, and there's no other postings, and if there are, they're kind of about the same thing. Hello. That's not a blog. That's a flog. Mm-hmm. And if you believe what they're saying, then you're going, oh, I'm going to buy this because this person liked it.
Another good way, too, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, is that if there's no advertising on the page as well, then we know that nobody's paying money to be able to.
Well, but that's, we'll get into that in a second. It is the Computer Corner. We're going to talk more about flogs and whatever you want to talk about. 602-277-5827. Back after this. Hey, it's the Computer Corner. We're just kind of winding down here. Doug, Brian, everyone else that's on hold, tell you what, just hang tight. As soon as we get off the air, we're going to take you off the air. That way we don't run into a time crunch. You got something going on, Food Drive, don't you, Lewis?
We do. We're trying to take a bite out of hunger.
Let's do it.
That's our holiday promo, and all the Mac Media locations throughout the end of the year, we're collecting non-perishable goods and just trying to create awareness about the folks that are needy and trying to help them out this holiday season. And at the same time, we're going to give credit to our store for people to come by.
So the food, they donate the food, and then you're giving that food credit towards something.
Yeah, we're going to give everybody a minimum of $10 credit in the store, regardless of what they bring.
And where are the details for this information?
The details, they're up on our website, so macmediainc.com.
Macmedia Inc., not K, but C, right? I-N-C.
I-N-C. Yeah.
Did you ever think of maybe registering the other one?
Well,
what happened if you got into the tattoo business?
That's true.
See what I mean? Okay, a couple more things here. We've got our holiday tech purchasing gotchas posted at datadoctors.com/radio. My top five, along with discussions about how to actually understand the laptop battery ratings, the whole discussion about extended warranties. How about this one? The dirty little secret for these low-end PC manufacturers, trialware. Not so much in the Apple world. Or is it starting to happen?
No, it doesn't really happen much in the Apple world.
In the Windows world, trialware is software that works for a trial period. Plain and simple. You're thinking, okay, whatever. Well, what if that's your antivirus program? And you bought it thinking, I'm good. Well, 60 days, 30 days into the life of this new computer, you get this pop-up saying, okay, you need another $50 or you're not going to be protected. You're like, I just got this computer. Well, they didn't bother to explain to you that the antivirus program you had on there was trialware. How about Microsoft Office? I've got Office.
Always trial.
60 days later, if you want to keep using it, it's $165 or whatever whatever the actual cost of the software was. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that was dirty.
That is a big misconception, though. I always hear, well, the PC comes with Microsoft Office. I'm like,
well, on the higher end.
On the high end,
But if you get a cheapy machine, this is how they cut the corners. Now, what's even worse is what's referred to as crapware, which is a whole bunch of trial software for goofy stuff you don't even care about.
Oh, geez.
But what they're doing is they're selling off your real estate to these other software companies. Because these software companies know some percentage of people that it's, if you can load it on every machine, maybe 5% of the people will actually go, that's interesting, and end up buying it. And so it's worth it to them to pay Dell or Sony or whoever to get the trialware installed on every single machine.
Well, that's how they drive those prices down.
Well, they're subsidizing to a certain extent, although I'm not sure that they're necessarily passing that on to the consumer. They're just taking the money. But what happens is, so a lot of these new computers you're buying today, the first thing you have to do is decrapify it.
And which actually, is ridiculous. It's like, actually, why should you have to optimize your brand new computer?
It's like you bought a brand new car, and it's got six people in it already. Who are you people? Where am I supposed to put my family? And again, they prey on people's lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, and focus on the price. This is another little trick they use for pricing. And how about, finally, rebates?
Gotta love them.
They are very scary these days, huh? A couple of the things that are common gotchas on rebates. Well, rebates, again, what is it, 26% of all rebates actually get processed or claimed or something?
Yeah, I think they say 85% of them don't get claimed.
It's a real... Because, you know, a lot of times they make you jump through hoops. Here's the biggest thing that people make a mistake on when it comes to technology. If you read the fine print of the rebate, it requires what's called the UPC, Universal Product Code.
Okay, threw out the box.
It's got a little barcode, all that stuff. And if you don't cut that off, and I understand as a control thing, because otherwise you could just like duplicate receipts and next thing you know. So that's the way that they know for sure that you did buy that product. Well, they also know that some percentage of people are going to get so excited and the box gets thrown away and no rebate. If you're going to buy something based on a rebate, first thing you want to do is cut that UPC off and store it away somewhere very, very safe.
And read that rebate with a fine-tooth comb.
Absolutely. More about that on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. All of those tips and tricks, hopefully that'll make you smarter, more smarter, something, when it comes to shopping for tech this year. Appreciate your inclusion.
Thank you, Ken.
Kyle, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Nothing like a free lunch, huh?
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk more about technology and all the fun, and we appreciate everybody joining in. datadoctors.com/radio. See you next week.